Praise be Jesus and Mary. You've now arrived at the heart of the liturgical year. With this celebration tonight, we enter into the Easter Triduum, the holiest day of the whole year. There is no Thursday holy like this one. And there is no Friday that is good or Saturday that is holy like the one celebrated within the Easter Triduum. Because in these days, our Lord walks the walk. And in these days, we see and we enter into all the great things that Christ, for our sake, has done, for our souls and for our eternal salvation. And it all begins tonight with Holy Thursday. This night, our Lord, we can say, begins with the end in mind. The Gospel says, knowing his hour has come. What does he do? He institutes the most holy Eucharist, the sacred priesthood, and he leaves his apostles with the great commandment of charity. Why does he do this? Well, we know very well that without God's grace, the heart of man is fickle. The good news is this: when God falls in love, he never falls out of it. On the contrary, his very nature is love. Deus caritas est, St. John tells us in his letter. God is love. This is the good news and the heart of the gospel. Christ loved his own to the end. Now, how does he do this? By doing what he did tonight. St. John Maria Vianney, the patron for all priests, once said that the priesthood is the love of the heart of Christ. Now, it is no wonder that the words, "This is my body, this is my blood," words by which he institutes the Holy Eucharist, always goes hand in hand with the words, "Do this in memory of me." Words by which he institutes the sacred priesthood. Now, do you see what our Lord is doing here? Our Lord institutes the most holy Eucharist, which St. Peter Julian Emard calls the sacrament of love. And then he instructs his apostles, his priests, to perpetuate it. When God loves, he loves to the end. Do this in memory of me. St. Albert the great doctor of the church, said no one could have commanded anything more beneficial, anything more lovable, anything more profitable, anything more like unto eternal life. And why does he do this? The Council of Trent tells us very simply, he does this to pour forth, I quote from the Council of Trent, to pour forth the riches of his divine love towards man. How in the world can souls be indifferent to this? Now, what we know by faith has been verified by different Eucharistic miracles. There's plenty of them. Just remember the miracle of Lanciano, where the sacred host transformed miraculously into visible flesh. And when the scientists looked at it, they concluded that the flesh was the flesh of the muscular tissue of the heart. We know by faith that in the Blessed Sacrament, our Lord is really, truly, substantially present, body, blood, soul, and divinity. And he perpetuates this through the priesthood. I remember the first year I went to Rome, right outside St. Peter's Square, I met one of Mother Teresa's very first companions. Sister, you cannot miss the sisters of Mother Teresa. Their habits just pop out. And I met one of the very first companions, and I immediately told her to pray for me because I was studying for the priesthood. When I said that, her eyes lit up, and she told me, "You know, Mother, referring to Mother Teresa, Mother always told us to pray for priests because priests give us Jesus." Mother Teresa had a spectacular way of summarizing the truths of faith. The priests give us Jesus. Something else that brought this home to me was when I was a seminarian, always in Rome. It was, you know, one day, just another day, or at least it seemed like it. I was walking towards my room to continue my studies because exams were coming up. And as I was walking through the corridor, I noticed one of the doors were opened. And there was a man on his knees and a priest with a purple stole and a book open with his hand over this man's head. And I thought, okay, he is probably hearing confession. So I went inside my room, tried to study, and then noise started to come out of that room. So I tried to keep studying, trying to ignore it, but it just got louder and louder. So I made the resolution, I am going over there and tell him to be quiet. I opened the door, walked towards their room. I enter, and then I fall on my knees because I immediately saw what was happening. The priest was invoking the saints, saying, "Saint Pio, pray for us. Saint Gemma Galgani, pray for us." And for every saint that he invoked, the man on his knees said, "I hate you. I hate you." The man was possessed. The priest looked at me and said, "Go call the other priests." And that's what I did. And I never saw him that day again. I went back the next day, and he told me what happened. Now, besides all the other details, okay, he was telling me how the devil said, "I want to bring this soul to hell." One of the things that really struck me was this. He told me there was a certain point where he looked him in the eyes and the man called him Jesus. Now, for sure, he was forced by, he was forced to say the holy name of Jesus, to declare that truth, that the priest, in virtue of the sacrament of orders, is configured to Christ. The priests give us Jesus. And St. John Maria Vianney goes even further. He says that without the priest, the passion and death of our Lord would be of no avail. Why is that? Because it would not be perpetuated. This is why our Lord begins with the end in mind. Because he anticipates what he's about to do, and he wants to perpetuate it. You see, therefore, how grave the abuses in the church are. The sexual abuse, we have to call it as it is. It's a grave sin towards God and a heinous crime towards the victim. And it undermines the very work of the church. That's why it is what it is, a diabolical masterpiece. Because it undermines the credibility of the very love of Christ. Benedict XVI, in his letter, when he was addressing this issue, says that we have to renew our faith in the Eucharist. Because in the end of the day, we're not Catholics because of the moral excellence of our leaders. We're Catholics because of what Christ has done for us. We're Catholics because of the sacraments, because of the Eucharist. Christ, the one and eternal priest, is present in the mystery of the priesthood, and he reminds us that his work of redemption, his passion and death and resurrection, is not something to be relegated to the past, but it's something that is continuing, that bears its salvific value even now, and it is present in the Eucharist. God goes all the way, and Christ loves us and loves us to the end. And he begins by instituting the most holy Eucharist, by which the great things that he has done for us is perpetuated. Let us pray to the Blessed Mother to enter fully into the great things that Christ has done for us, especially in the Blessed Sacrament, where we get a taste of what St. Paul calls the width, the height, the depth, and the profundity of the love of Christ for us. Praise be Jesus and Mary.